This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This video is brought to you by Astaprobe. Koi, my friend, my sick, sick, poor friend, are you ready?
Let us, ironically, life, death, two for COVID, take two.
All right, buddy, let's do it. All right, another solid episode of X-Men, where a woman gets transformed and gets a new hairdo. That's usually what you got to do, right? When a woman goes through an emotional arc. That's one of my favorite tropes. I didn't even think about it until right now. When the transformation happens, then the hair changes and everything. I love it. You look great, though.
Real life, that's true. Sometimes a breakup leads to a haircut. I've been through it. I know a lot of women do it. It's great.
I'll usually shave my head entirely.
That's a metamorphosis.
Yeah,
you're a phoenix from the ashes, Greg.
In this case,
there is a phoenix.
It makes sense. Koi, there's so many things that happened in this episode. What is the first thing that you want to talk about? You take the lead on here.
I'm so impressed at the dichotomy between space and its infinite void and the vast openness of the desert, both feeling like they fit together. There's always this interesting, you know, we use Star Wars and desert, and we have like these vast tundras. And it was really cool in an animated series to see that land, because I felt like it was really emotionally transiting. And I really like those transitions between the two sets of relationships, and how the birth of the Forge Storm relationship felt like it really was rocky. And this episode was that growing. And then the Charles's grand return immediately going into the growth of their relationship, and all of the monologues felt like they were serving their greater character. And I love that the through line of teaching someone to walk, teaching someone they have to do it themselves, walk on your own. Like, there was a lot of walking visual metaphor, and also half the monologues were about walking. And then Charles having to leave behind the legs that have allowed him to walk. Like, he has to abandon his assistants. He has to take his own advice and walk on his own. And that was such a beautiful landing. And I just, the storm, she flew again. And that there's just these amazing transformations. And it just felt so strong. Like, it was such an empowering episode.
It's a powering episode. Yeah, I agree. A lot of great monologues, too, throughout. I loved Xavier's final monologue at the end when he has the Shi'ar in the classroom as well. Because both of these storylines, the dueling storylines, dealt so much with them both having to accept how they really feel, you know? And I really like how it was like Storm was more of like the obvious setup trajectory. One that is still cathartic, that by the time she does get her powers, you really feel that, and to have like this joyous flying sequence, and for her to accept who she is and her strengths, kind of, it's very like Spider-Man 2, Tobey Maguire, in a sense, you know, of like, no, I'm still like a strong human being, and I don't need my powers for strength. I have a resilience in me, and I still have an inner strength. And then the physical strength, the powers, is an extension of her. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I loved seeing that illustrated. And for Charles to be in this dichotomy, it was a fascinating one. Going off of, you know, with my memory of what happens in the animated show, the original, when Charles and her fall in love, it is very like grandiose and soap opery, but it does kind of just feel like it's more of a psychic connection mumbo jumbo thing, not really a true love story. At least that was like the way how I felt about it. Like, I remember when it got introduced and then they said they love each other, they feel the love. I was like, oh, okay, I guess so. They said it, so sure. And I thought what this episode did really well was demonstrate their love, and where I could feel how much of a conflict it was for Charles of which way do I choose? Do I sacrifice my, because that's what was really boiling down to, right?
Yeah.
Is not just do I go return to my X-Men or do I rule here with the Shi'ar and you know, fight the Kree and whatever. It was really, do I give up the love of my life or do I go back to my X-Men? And before, if it was just the animated, the original, I honestly would have been like, just go back to your X-Men. But
no, you love them.
Yeah. Like this love doesn't feel, I don't really feel this love, but I actually thought they didn't. I thought they did a really good job there on selling. I bought into it significantly more here
in one episode.
Than I did in the prior ones. And then, you know, like there is also the aid of passage of time from graduation day to where we are now, to being a like, all right, well, I don't know what romance has happened with them in the past year. And
but
it was
in the dialogue, you did feel the weight of time. It didn't feel like we just caught back on. And I already gave Charlie some love, but Charlie's been such a fan of X-Men for so long, and she loves the weird connections between characters. And I think this was a great showcase of that. She showed how well, because I think this is the first episode I've seen her as head writer. And the way she was able to show the Shi'ar's tactical minds while showing love between Charles and Lilandra mixed with Lilandra and Deathbird feeling like betrayal was always going to happen. Like, there was just so much history, and it was 30 minutes. And then that wasn't even a... This was the opposite of Life, Death, One, where it felt like these two stories enhanced each other.
They complement.
Whereas in Life, Death, One, I was like, Jubilee Arcade episode, bye. Like, I wanted those as two, whereas this one wouldn't feel whole without the other one. And I think that was a really beautiful part, too, because now I want to rewatch Life, Death, Part One into this one. And that's what I wanted out of it. I immediately reread Life, Death, Part One, the comic, which had come out 6 months before Part Two. This has that same... So this stuck the landing in a way that now I'm like, okay, every episode keeps building and building and building, because the last episode was so relentless. I was so worried this one would be like, all right, back to the cowpokes, and it wasn't. We went to space. We brought Charles back. The storm moment delivered. This was such an impressive feat.
It really was. It really was. And I love how it both storylines end with, because they're having this trajectory of struggle. And then they get to this place of acceptance and strength and self-empowerment on their choices. And then it ends with both of them realizing the tragedy that they were not present for, you know, and knowing who these characters are a Storm and Professor X, that they're immediately, you know, that running through their head must be, if only I was there. If only I had my powers there.
And they're experiencing it at the same moment, theoretically, the way you feel that chronology.
Yeah. And I got to give it up to this because, you know, like the Dark Phoenix storyline, even like that is a comic run that I actually have read, but also like revisiting in the show and watching, you know, like the cosmic politics of it all. For some reason, I'm not really that drawn to it sometimes when it comes to... when it comes to the medium of television, or even sometimes a movie, it depends on it. But I remember specifically with the X-Men animated series, I'm like, yeah, I like it, but it's not particularly my flavor, the way how it's being adapted. Whereas here, I actually found myself really buying into the stakes because I think they did a great job at intertwining the immediacy of making it feel really personal. I know I'll get pushback for that with like, what are you talking about? They had like Jean Grey and the Phoenix storyline and all that. But I'm like, yeah.
How you felt though?
Yeah. That is just my feelings on the matter. And maybe because I'm not, whereas like the Phoenix storyline, there's also a sense of familiarity because I was aware of
they've only done it twice in live action in 12 years.
There's also the live action storylines, which they're not the most accurate, but here I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. This is really unexpected to me. Like, I have no idea where this is going to go. I mean, obviously Charles has to eventually return, but it's the manner and how they decide to go back to it, which I thought brought a lot of strength, because so much is like falling apart. And you know, the, like Charles is in such contemplation throughout this episode of, are they really fine without me? You know, like I know that they have to learn to walk on their own, obviously, but are they really fine? And as we saw in the last episode, they're not, you know, like even when it comes to like leaving Scott as a leader, like that's really in shambles right now.
And yeah, right now he's very Cyclops was righty. He's about to get real messy, and I think it's deserved. Like they've set him up to break, and I think it's gonna be interesting to see Charles come back and maybe not have his precious student be who he left, and will he feel that guilt of like I left them to walk on their own too soon? And I really love that Charles got the return to my X-Men line, and Scott got the to me my X-Men line. I loved the play on that because it's usually Charles saying to me my X-Men, and it's him returning to his X-Men. And that was just a fun little play with it because it's not his right now. Like, he's got to go back and rebuild.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring us. So some fun facts about me. I've been seeing an ENT the past couple of months. Got a CT scan done for my allergies, and right now I'm trying to find time to get deviated septum surgery. So like many of you, I am someone who's tried pretty much every nasal spray you can think of because I have difficulty breathing through my nose, which leads to day-to-day and sleeping problems on a consistent basis. So before agreeing to this, I wanted to try them out myself because this is a serious thing I deal with. They provided me with free samples. This is my second bottle. This is without a doubt the best nasal spray I have ever used. That's not some talking point. That's my very own personal testimony. Genuinely, for me, it's fantastic and lives up to how it's advertised. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter solution available. It gets to work in just 30 minutes while other sprays take hours to kick in. It's also the only one out there that's steroid-free for 24-hour relief. Astapro has seriously changed the game for me, offering full prescription strength relief from nasal congestion, runny nose, and sneezing. The difference this makes is phenomenal. It's kind of insane how this relief through my breathing and nostrils just kicks in and I'm back in action really fast. So if you're like me, battling with nasal allergies and looking for relief, get fast-acting nasal allergy or symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go. It's faster with Astapro, bro. I saw that commercial. Astapro, it's faster, bro. That's Astepro allergy.com. Remember, use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Thank you again, Astapro, sincerely.
I really did love the poetry of this episode. I love the themes. I really love Storm's monologue at the end.
Yeah, me
talking
too.
About like the demons being reflections of our fear and shame. Because
did you catch that the bird's voice, I think, was hers?
Yeah.
Yeah, that first episode, I was like, oh, that's a really clever way to manipulate the audience to have a familiarity, but also like it's distorted enough. It was playful.
Yeah. Well, the thing is though is, I'm especially one of those people who's really under the belief that if you block anything, it actually blocks you from feeling like even happiness, or like if you block the fear and the shame, if you push all these things down, these demons, these quote unquote demons that we have, that also, if you build a wall to that, it also builds a wall to the other emotions that bring a more positive reaction within you, you know? And so I really like talking about like the poison in the hearts of how these things, like they are insidious. They build up in you. They're like, it germinates. And so throughout the years of everything Storm's dealt with, like I really thought that was actually quite powerful. So much of what they talked about, I thought they really earned the embrace of that. It's like,
and on his side, Forge, the poison being like the lack of forgiveness, and then forgiving him, like dissolving it. Like obviously, the cactus was the visual metaphor, but that being a rot of him feeling responsible for her, and then it sustaining when she said like, you know, she forgives him, and then him curing it when she's like, I love you. Like that was such a beautiful visual for that metaphor, the poison.
A couple of little random tidbit notes. I find it really interesting how, you know, so much of the, I think the visual of X-Men animated is Wolverine. He's barely in this show. You know?
I think they should teach a class on the bravery of Marvel going, hey, who's our most bankable guy? Remember, he's not the leader.
And then I think that's cool because I often don't think about it. Just for some reason popped into my noggin right now.
Yeah, he wasn't in this episode at all. And what a gift. It would have been Wolverine as the Gambit Skull 100 times out of 100.
Oh, yeah.
If it was any other, like Marvel coming out and being like, yo, Gambit earned that. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. And the other part, my one little criticism when it comes to this life-death storyline, I don't really buy into the romance between Forge and Storm.
Quick.
It's really, I don't really buy it. I get so back and forth. That's one thing with the world of animated series of X-Men as a whole, is sometimes the romance storylines just, sometimes I really buy into it and sometimes I really don't. And to me, this was a part that I did feel was rushed. And I thought like the weight of some of their exchanges would have been more felt. Like I think in isolation and a lot of the themes that we were pointing out, obviously still hold weight and are still strong. I just think the impact of it would have been even a little stronger if I bought into the actual love of them, other than being told like, yeah, they're in love. Okay.
Look at him. See it? Yeah, yeah. Like Jean and Madeline and Scott feel more real. And,
right.
And Magneto and Rogue even feel more real than that. And I was like, there is such opportunity. So I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. But other than that, man, I thought it was another great episode. I'm really loving this show. You know, it's like there's a reason why we make it work and why Coy still puts forth his best effort in spite of Vegas, in spite of COVID. He will still be here.
Honestly, if this was, I mean, I love you, Hawkeye, but if this was Hawkeye.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of solo Greg reactions here. Yeah.
The 98% Rotten Tomatoes is how your boy feels too. And he's here at midnight at 1 a.m. now wrapping out, because I do think this is something I want to share. And I'm like really enjoying you and I getting to share our exposure to the show you've had more recently and the exposure to the comics that like. Like, for example, last week, I was talking about the Krakoa saga, which was like how they reinterpreted the E is for Extinction. I had talked about the E is for Extinction stuff at the beginning of our watches, but I hadn't thought about it again. I was like, oh, the Grant Morrison new X-Men run. Like, I think that's going to be important. But the visuals reminded me so much of Krakoa last week that I completely forgot that the Wild Sentinel wasn't like part of Krakoa. The storyline I was talking about, the Tri-Sentinel isn't even part of that, but I was like, okay, it's got three heads. It must be the Tri-Sentinel. My brain was just enjoying all the visuals, and it was so nice to like then go back and reread E is for Extinction, which they adapted beautifully and mixed in Krakoa elements. And I really love that this show is allowing comic fans what Civil War did, which is an important iconic story, but remixed. Like, it doesn't feel like they're just animating one thing. So I think it's really been a cool treat for comic fans to feel like they did with X-Men 92, where it's like, oh, we're seeing that saga, but it's new-ish. And they're doing such a good job appeasing everyone that I haven't met anyone that I actually value the opinion of that doesn't like the show.
Yeah, and if they don't, they're wrong.
And that's it. It's simple. Black and white. 2% of these people don't need them. No, but it's usually there's like some, you know, just opinion people have. Like, it's not because they're bigots, some of them. But no, it's nice to hear this universal love, and it's been deserved.
Oh, man, the amount of people that were clickbaiting with all that, you know, X-Men gone woke, it's already ruined. Where are you all now?
Yeah,
didn't
take down those videos, but scroll far enough down. Oh, look at you monetizing your, oh, this is great reviews.
Yeah, where it happened, guys? Where'd y'all go?
You know what? I started getting, I felt good about my YouTube growing. I started getting those people in my comments going like, keep blah, blah, blah's name out of your mouth. And I was like, I am growing a page because now I got haters.
Yeah, there you go, buddy. There you
go. Felt great. X-Men, go woke. I'm going to stay with you.
Stay woke.
You've been woke.
Stay woke, X-Men. You've been woke since
62, for like
so many decades. Stay woke. Alrighty. Well, guys, I had a fantastic time. What did you guys think about this episode, Coy? Thank you for being here with me in spite of how you are currently feeling. So thank you, buddy. And thank you to Anya for helping out, too, with all the setup, and John, too, with helping out with setup. So you guys rock. Additional help. Alrighty, well, let's close this out. Leave your thoughts down below on what y'all thought about this episode. And subscribe, click that bell, keep a lookout for our new X-Men shirt, and we will catch you all very, very soon, rejects.